morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. We've got a lot of code to get through, so I'm going to start early. And maybe we're going to have to eat up a little bit of your coffee break. So I'm Peter from Bring2Mind and DNN Connect. This talk, React.js 101. I played a little game with Daniel Mettler because he always said that Angular was the solution to just about any problem in the world. So in the description, I said, you know, this is the solution to every problem in the world. Don't worry, it's not. But I hope that the takeaway from this for you would be that you have a little bit more understanding of this tool, how it fits into DNN, how you can use it in DNN, and to see what kind of problems you can solve with this library. So first, just a shout out to our sponsors. DNN Corp, TUSIC, ITM, et cetera. They'll be mentioned again and again throughout the conference, so I'm not going to go through all of them. So I'm going to rush through this. Most of you will know me. So co-founder of DNN Connect Association. I am the owner of Bring2Mind. I make the document exchange module. Core team member, DNN enthusiast, et cetera, et cetera. Just check me out on GitHub if you want to see my source code. So React.js is an open source JavaScript library, right? It's maintained by Facebook, Angular is Google, React.js is Facebook, and you'll find it at react.js.com. It focuses on keeping what you see on screen in sync with data, right? It's not a full framework, as they say, as Angular is. It's actually more of a view framework. Now, it is used in Facebook and various other sites, and it does one thing particularly well, which is when something changes in some status somewhere in Facebook, that all other bits of the UI get updated, because that's the core, basically, of what it does really, really well. So it's a library to manage view state. And now the thing is, there's various bits and pieces that you may have heard of. And at first, I found this a little bit confusing. So sometimes, you know, you will also see the name React Native. React Native is not the same thing as React.js. It uses the same kind of ideas and concepts, et cetera, as React. But actually, that's a library to target mobile platforms. And there's often it's mentioned in conjunction with Flux. Now, Flux is actually not a library. There's no Flux.js, so to speak. However, it's a pattern. They say, okay, well, you know, you can add Flux to React to approach basically a full framework, something that Angular, for instance, does. And there are various implementations of Flux out there, various popular ones. We don't have nearly enough time to cover all aspects of React, let alone React and Flux. And I'm not an expert in Flux whatsoever. I've just been using React.js for now. So the highlights of React.js. So first of all, you've got to keep in mind that it actually creates a virtual DOM behind the scenes that it tries to synchronize with your actual DOM, what the user is seeing. And what it does is when it does an update, it looks for differences between what it has in the virtual DOM and what is actually in your browser. So it doesn't do a full screen refresh whenever something has changed. This is very important to keep in mind, because as you go on and you might see some oddities, you're trying to debug this stuff, you have to keep in mind what it does. It compares what is on screen with what it thinks should be on screen, and it makes adjustments. Now, the advantage of this is it's lightning fast, right? It is faster than most other libraries out there. The disadvantage, of course, is that if you've, for instance, sometimes there are IDs attached to stuff, and if you're beginning to, well, let's say, mix IDs, or you haven't done the IDs properly for a particular element, all of a sudden, React doesn't know which component was which, and it will have a hard time rendering. But you'll see it's really simple to keep this kind of stuff, normal and fully functional. the second thing that, I certainly love it, synthetic events. So synthetic events are Facebook, so React implements its own set of events. It's defined its events. So you say, okay, well, this link on click equals, well, you figured out what that does. But there are a whole bunch of events, and it's not an actual on click on the A anchor in HTML. It does its own logic for that. So you have a set of events that you can choose from for your various elements, and of course you can add those to any of your elements. Now, third point, unidirectional work data flow. So you build up your whatever it is, your part of your screen or the whole screen. It's up to you what you do. But you build it up as a tree, and at the top of the tree, you manage what they call state. And so that's your data, basically, where everything comes from. Now, the millisecond you change something in that state, you will see that whatever in the tree depended on that will change. But keep in mind that the pattern is keep that state right at the top of that tree, and don't start to try to manage state further down the line, unless you have a strong reason to do that. State and props, so we'll come to that. So the state is the data, we just said, right at the top of the tree. And properties, that's the way you pass down data, basically. So, okay, well, this is an element, and it has a property of description. Description equals this and this bit from the state. And final thing, components. So, yeah, you nest these things. Right, you create one component, then the next, it fits in it. You might repeat that component. It's basically a pattern we all use, whether we use it in ASP.NET or any other technology. Right, we stack these things. Okay, so let's move on. I'm not the definitive expert on this. There is a whole bunch of resources on React.js that you can easily find. So I suggest, Google it. So just a React versus Angular thing, right? There are many, many experts who've weighed in on this. If you do React vs. Angular in Google, you get a whole bunch of hits. And the most heard observations, I tried for this presentation to just go through the first 10 or so and see what is the general take on this. So Angular is a framework, and React is more of a view engine. So the two things, it's like comparing apples and pears already. React tends to be faster. Well, that kind of makes sense because it's not doing half the things that Angular does. Angular separates JavaScript from HTML, and React actually mixes them entirely. Now, this is something that you will see in a minute. It's a question of taste and choice, etc. And Angular takes care of two-way data binding, and in React you will need to do some extra steps. Now, I think now I'm done with slides because slides is just basically reading what you see on screen. let's first dig into to what we have here on my machine. So I'm going to go as little as possible into Visual Studio. The Visual Studio solution you see here, all it does is just render a view onto a page. I'll show you what that looks like. And in a second, DNN Connect 2016. And just to walk you through the solution, so the solution, it has, basically what we're trying to do is build a very simple list of, it was inspired when you guys were communicating about, hey, who's leaving from Barcelona Airport, who's leaving from Girona Airport, at what time. I was like, well, you should have an app for that, right? why isn't there an app for that? So anyway, the idea is simple. You just have a table I will be arriving at this and this time at this and this airport, and I have so many spaces available, and it would go into a table. And you can imagine you could take that app a bit further where people can react to it and discuss it, et cetera, and then find a way. But we're just going to stay with that first table because, the focus here is on React.js. So let me see if the site's come up. Here it is. And here's the module. Right, so all it is just this text here for now that I'm rendering. And we have a web API call here, add ride data transfer object. So whether you're coming or going, your location, a string, number of places in the car, and some notes like, okay, you know, I don't want any smokers or whatever in the car. Then I'm just going to take this out here. We have an add method to obviously add one to the table. And, you know, if you could you could expand this to other CRUD operations, of course. But that's basically what I have in the web API. And the view controller here, well, there's nothing here basically, right? It's just it just says, okay, we'll render this view with the settings that I have. There's other parts to this. It may look like there's an awful lot of code for this in this solution, but that's basically because I've templated this out for my own module template. So there's a whole bunch of stuff there already for security and all that. All right, well, let's get started. Like I said, we've got a bit of code to go through. I'm using, first of all, one of the first things you will want to have, I'm just going to go to Sublime here. So this is the module folder, right? Under desktop modules, connect, and then, all right, so here's the module folder. I use Gulp to build my modules nowadays, but also you'll find it extremely useful when you're doing this type of JavaScript development, where you want to continuously pack and show it on screen what has changed. Now, Gulp implements watchers. So basically, you change a file, and all of a sudden, it does something. You ask it to do something. And this is now configured to every time I make a change to one of my JavaScript files in the source folder of JavaScript files that are here, that at that point in time, as soon as I change something there, it will compile a new script here in hitchride.js, and that is the JavaScript file that goes out to the client. So there's a bit of tinkering there to set yourself up completely before you start really developing your app to make sure that everything works. So to start off with React.js, of course, we're using Node to just download React. Where is it? Here we are. You know, you've got your distribution here. You've got React. I'm using the React min.js that I'm going to send out. And I've created a method in my web pages code behind class, or at least, you know, the class that it's inherited from, which is, I believe, here. Is it here? Or is it the web page? Let me just check this out. I'll show you where this is. Here it is, web page. So basically, this is the code that I have access to in the Razor file, right? So I have a method to get a resource file. I got some helpers. And I also have a module context, a context helper. Now, the context helper is this thing, and it does all kinds of useful things, like, for instance, hook in our scripts. So where are they now? There you go. So we have add module script. Basically, that's my method to just send out stuff over the wire. So there's a request Ajax script support, add React.js, and hitchride.js is the core library that's sending out. So if I go to this, you will see that. Right, go to definition. There you are. It's the React min and the React DOM min that are going to go out. All right. Now, so what we have to do basically in our file, we're going to go and have some code here and just say, all right, hitch a ride module context dot add module script. Boom. Right, now my scripts are going over the wire, so at least I have my that part solved. And I'm going to create now, at this point in time, if I just refresh the page and go here, F5, just make sure that those scripts are there. Scripts, let's have a look. Should see, here we are. So those are the scripts going out. That part should be working. No surprises there. All right, let's go to the code. Let's collapse all of that. And I'm going to just create a first quick file. I'm going to call it hitchride.jsx. Boom, there we are. And I'm first going to create a React class. Now, a React class, basically the way it works is we have a couple of methods in a React class. The one that is compulsory is this one, render. So this tells basically React what it's got to do to send out over the wire. Now, as you can see, this may look a bit awkward, but currently we're mixing JavaScript and HTML, right? So the way this works is this JSX. The JSX is actually, you could call this file anything, right? But the thing is that the syntax that Facebook came up with, they called it JSX, and it needs to go through a JSX processor to get compiled. So now, if I change this to an H1, I say H1, and I go hello DNN connect, right? At that point in time, it's going to render this, and when it gets compiled, actually this code gets compiled into plain old JavaScript. It will turn into okay, grab this element and then render an H1 tag and then put this text in there. It becomes very a bit more less easy to read. Let's put it that way. And now, of course, you need to have some way to hook into this should work, right? To hook this all into the document. So we need, first of all, we need some element in our view. Let's say we're going to move this. All right, I'm going to go for a div. I'm going to give it an ID or class equals connect hitch a ride. Right, thank you. With two N's. Right, get that one. Go back here. I say, let's show you. So you get that one. That one. Right, and for each one of those, what are we going to do? Well, it's the. Right. I hope we can maybe make this a bit smaller. Is it legible there? Yeah, it probably is, and that looks for quite big. All right. Render. All right, you take your component, which is the component at the top. My component, and I'm going to render that into the element. Now, that thing still needs to get a name, and we're going to go for my component equals this. Now, cross fingers, we can always check the build task. So this is actually I don't know if you can actually see this, see if I can enlarge this. Anyway, it just says, watching and browserified this into a single file. Now, refresh the page. All right, so it's now hooked into the div. Basically, it said, okay, now render me an H1 with this text, and you know, take it from there. Right. Now, state and events. So we saw this this method, get initial state. I say, well, how about you know we return in the state, right? We have a DNN connect, and now here this dot state dot name. Again, just checking if the build worked. Seems to have worked. And go here. And of course, it does the same thing. Let's just change the name there for a sec. There we go. OK, so at this point, we have some data hooked in right at the start. The state is set. And we're going to keep this updated. Now, next thing to do is to see, so how do we keep these things in sync, and how do we work with events? So let's change this around a little bit. I'm going to put a div around this. There's one thing to keep in mind. Any of these render functions can only return one node, right? So you can build a whole tree underneath it, but I can't say H1 and then a P after that without doing the div around it. That will not work. That will blow up. So I'm going to have an input, type equals text. You may have heard of this. And by the way, you've got to write proper XHTML, because otherwise it doesn't know, right, with the closing tags and everything. So don't try to shortcut this. And I'm going to give it a value. Right, the value is going to be, again, you know, this.state.name. So we see that same name sitting there. And we're going to go for an on change equals. Now we need to create a method to handle this. So I'm going to go for this.textChanged. And here I'm going to create a method, textChanged. And in the text change, I'm going to go for this.setState. At this point, you're probably figuring out what this does. This actually changes the state. Name, this. And now we need a reference to this input that is here. And so actually, there's a very neat trick for that. So I'm going to say, this is a ref. I'm going to call it text name, because I like those old style web forms references. And now this refs.textName, this will get you the actual DOM element. So I can now say, okay, well, dot value, boom, we're there. Save this. Now, what should happen? $1 million question. So we have DNN connect 2. And of course, if I change that to 3 or whatever, right? So this now, when the text change event's fired, it will change the state. The state is changed. It will make sure that that stays in sync with the H1 that was rendered above it, right? So that's good, because we're blazing through these first few steps of of React.js. Any questions so far? Yes?
Do you have a validation library working on the input box?
Yeah.
How does it react? I mean, if it fails validation.
Right. The question is, you know, validation. Where does this fit in to this whole thing? Well, the nice thing is, of course, you're in JavaScript, right? You could do any validation you want. Like, here is the method, text changed. You could just pick up this refs text name dot value and start doing all kinds of funky stuff in this method and say, well, you know, I need to copy it properly. Well, let's add a little validator in here. It is nothing, right? If it's empty. then what we're going to do is we're going to put up an alert, right? I say, no. And we're going to do this equals, and we're going to set it to something, right? With a bit of luck.
For example, to add classes, right?
Yeah. Boom. Oh, sorry. Now you take the... So here we go. Hang on. Too fast.
Very fast, yeah.
Very fast. I'm so fast. Boom. No. Boom. Put something in there, right? So actually, it gives you, in my opinion, it opens up a whole array of things in terms of validation, because you're here, you're working next to the data, so you could do validation against other data as well.
Right. I mean, that's a very nice thing that you have. How about if the validation is already in place, you know, from another algorithm?
That would be very hard, because you're actually rendering through this. So I guess if you pick up of, let's say you have an input and you have a certain class on it or something, or you give it a data, whatever, and the validator picks up on that, right? First of all, the validator needs to pick up after React has rendered. So you're going to find that you're going to steer the validation, at the very least, from within React to say, okay, after my component is rendered, I'm going to hook in all my validators. And then, of course, also still you're in touch with this, like you react to whatever is happening in those validation libraries. All right. So next thing is, of course, we're not going to continue with just a single file. As you can imagine, with a more complex interface, let alone if you go all the way to Facebook, you will have to want to split this up into multiple files. So what you typically do is, well, you say, well, actually, I have a file, and it's called my component, for instance, just to keep things simple, .jsx, boom, put it here. And then hitch-a-right will say, well, my var, my component now is not this, but it's a require. And here you need to specify the extension, because it will not pick it up otherwise, JSX, right? And we moved all this stuff, and move it in here. So module, I was going to say React class here. Make sure I get all the things right. There we go. At this point, this file now references this other file, and it should still do the very same thing, right? So we're still there, and we still do our wonderful validation. There you go. Now, of course, the thing is that this data currently sits here, so it's isolated to this part of the tree. So at this point, we want to say, well, actually, this part, the get initial state. That's when we start to drill down into smaller components. So we can create some subclass for this. We say, well, okay, we're going to give it a property, and let's say, let's do it this way. Let's say we want to feed in the name from DNN first. So I'm going to have in this thing, I'm going to go like, okay, well, data.name equals DNN connect again, right? If I can spell that right. Now go back here and say, well, actually, once I get my component here, I'm going to give it a property, right? And the property is going to be called name. Name equals. And I see I'm running out of screen real estate the whole time, so I'm just going to put it on the next line here. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to grab right, we're in this element, right? We've got the element here. So I can just element. I've got the element. I'm going to get data. Name, right? Now that should pick up the name and stick it into a property called name on the MyComponent component. So I go to MyComponent, and now instead of giving the name here and setting and hard coding it, right, which we don't want in JavaScript, we say, well, actually this comes along in the props. So props dot name. Control C. Let's see if we get a hello again. There we go. Now we're there again. So what is done now, right? Just to recap, at this point in time, we've split it off into a separate file, our component, and we're wiring in a particular bit of data and passing it in as a property into the component. Now, this is my this is the way I usually do it. I work with a class. You could imagine that you just have a single ID, and you know that this is always going to be a single component on a page. So you have div, and I'm talking about this level here, that you have a div ID equals my app, and you say, okay, well, my app, get document ID by my app, and then render the React. Instead, this looks a bit more convoluted because I'm doing an each on a class, meaning you could have multiple of these on a single page. And that, of course, comes in handy later when you're talking about DNN modules that might actually, you know, your user might actually add more of these to a page. So working with IDs is usually a big no-no in our world of development, right? So we usually work with classes, and then because this library will only go out once, it will just loop through it will only run once, right? It will only run this code once and then go through the page and go for each of these elements. All right. Now, let's split it off into a subcomponent. I'm going to go for a box input. Box input dot JSX. Right. And my component is going to have the same box input var box input equals require that was not the key I wanted to parse. Control Z. Box input, there you go, dot JSX. There we are. And we're going to move some stuff from here. So what shall we move from there? We go for the let's just do that box. So the box will be this, right? Box input, this. I go for it. And, right? Now, we're going to get rid of the initial state at this point in time. Now, we're going to see an interesting phenomenon, of course, because this will not work. It will render, but it will not work because these components are not aware of each other, right? The box, I haven't even hooked in the box input, sorry. I should have the box input here, right? Box input, there we are. And voila. But now it's broken. Now it's broken because references are no longer working. It's not finding each other. So now we need to say, well, actually we have a name. Name equals, and it will be this.state.name, not the props, because we can change it in the state here. And we need to have this same text changed. We're going to give it a method, right? That should work in this component, right? Text changed, and the text changed event is still here, right? But now the ref is not there anymore, and we're just going to feed in the value actually of what it is. So new value, and we're going to go if new value is all this, right? Right? You can't do the you could, but let's not go that far. We're going to take the value data out actually at this point. It wasn't part of the demo. Disclaimer. New value. You can, of course, loop back, but there's a bit more coding. Now we have the box input, and this dot text changed no longer works. So we have the input, and we say, okay, well, it's got the value is now this dot props, props.name, right? And the onChange event will now go for it. Let's just change the name of this, okay? Just to avoid any confusion. They say it'll change. And what we're going to do, and we're going to say, well, this dot props dot text changed, right? Which is a method that we're passing in. And what were we passing in? Well, this dot refs dot text name dot value. Right? So far, so good. I mean, this should pass in the value back into that method. And at this point in time, when we refresh this, we should get this back again. And lo and behold, it's still working. So, this is a bit of a mental step, but now you're slowly beginning to pull stuff apart that is still talking to each other. And you're beginning to isolate bits and pieces of your UI where you might actually, that might be a desirable approach for you to isolate those bits. All right. How are we doing in terms of time? Well, we're running out of time. So, I'm going to skip 5B. All right, I'm quickly going to change the solution a little bit because we need to step forward to step 6. I'm going to check this out. Discard all changes. Yeah, that's what I thought might happen. I need to do a hard reset on that, but it doesn't want to. Remove. Okay. There we go. All right, let's check this out. All right. So our solution will look a little bit different. I'm just going to come over here. Yep. There we go. Okay, so I've added Bootstrap to this. It's again just a div at this point. And here I now have a main class to hitch a ride, main class. And what it does is it grabs this thing, which is, there's a lot of HTML here. This is basically a modal and a table. And the idea is that we see names appear as, as things go on. I'm just going to render it briefly, F5. All right, now we have a name, location, and number of places. That's all. And what we want to do is we want to add things to the table, okay? It says, I'm not going to delve into the details of this. This is mostly just Bootstrap and the Bootstrap JS stuff. Now, we want to now pass in our data. So at this point in time, we have some data in the database. Data dot, what are we going to call it? So we're going to call it data dot rides equals. And now we're going to say, well, okay, we have a Newtonsoft dot JSON dot JSON convert, and serialize object, of course, serialize object. And what object are we going to serialize? Well, actually, we have a, in the module, we have a core.repository.hitch repository. I think that's that one. That's probably the right one. No, the ride repository, sorry. Ride repository.instance. Right? This is the get rides. Okay, so these are the rides that that we're having, and of course we're going to have to pass in the module ID. That's going to be DNN active module dot module ID, right? Because everything needs to be isolated by module ID. Now, did I forget any? Yeah, I forgot one of those. Okay, right. At this point in time, if I render that, obviously you'll see a whole bunch of stuff here happening. You go like, oh, what is this? Well, actually, here we go. Where's the wrapper div? Okay, here it is. It's the div. Did we get it? Okay, sorry. Class here. There we go. So here we see the data rides. There's a whole bunch of things here currently. All right. So that's the data. It now flows from DNN into a data attribute of your div. And of course, now I can pick it up in much the same way that we did before. So we're going to just add a property to hitchride here. We say, well, when we render this, I would like the property rides to be equal to, and you kind of guessed this probably, well, el.data rides, right? Now I've got the rides in there, and at that point in time we have a ride row, so we have the, let's go to ride table, and say, okay, well, you know, and rides, colon, this dot props dot rides. All right, now we've got the rides in there. And now at this point, we need something to render a row. We're gonna go for a ride row dot JSX and RCLD. There you go, this is a row, TR, right, and then TD, and you're going to have to up TD. And what we do is we have a property on this thing, and it will be called ride. So we're going to go for this dot props dot dot ride. And what was the display name of the user? And we're going to have a few others as well that we'll fit in. And we can get rid of the initial state, by the way. Just the render will do. And on the ride table, we're going to have to, when we render those rides, we're going to have, first of all, we're going to have the ride row, of course, here. For ride row equals require dot ride row dot JSX. Close that off. I say, okay, well, we're going to have rides. I go, you know, for rides equals, and what are we going to do is we're going to take the state, this dot state dot rides, and we're going to map those, right? So we're going to go for, well, you know, item. And what are we going to do? Sorry, this creates a new array, right? You guys all aware of that. Return. And we're going to go for a ride row. Row. And the ride equals the item. And this is the important part. That this is going to come back to something I said in the beginning. We need some way to help React determine which part is which. So for these rows, like any kind of collection of elements, it needs IDs to somehow keep track of which element is what. And we help it now by giving it our own primary ID for the row that we know is not going to change for that bit of data, so that if something happens to that row, whether it's deleted or it's updated, React.js knows that that bit of HTML needs to be re-rendered. And then, of course, we go into the table body and we say, well, here I want to render those rides. Right? At this point in time, it will look like this, right? So we just get the display name. Of course, you can add the location and number of places as well. With a bit of luck, if I just like, okay, I'm just going to update that. Where are we? Here we go. Check out. Ah, come on. You could just help me, right? Don't give me that. All right, remove dark. I was going to step it ahead. Last year I had a little script to walk me through a bit faster even. Anyway, so ride rows, still doing the same thing. The ride row is now completely filled in. And when we render this, we see all of it. All right, so got those. Now, of course, service back, right? So we need at some point, we need to have a service method going back into our module, add the data to the module. So at this point, we have a, I have a service class. Basically, it's like a again, it's like a skeleton of a service class that I can easily add methods to. So this dot, and what are we going to call it? We're going to call it add ride. And what is it? Well, it's a function where we give it a ride and success dot comma fail in case you want those. And what we do is like the Ajax call. And what are we going to make it? You know, it's going to be a post because that's the way we defined it to be. I'm going to go for rides, and we're going to go for. This is basically a pattern I use continuously. Like, okay, what method? What controller? What method in the controller? Right? What HTML method? What method? And what ID? There's no ID there, but there's the ride and success. Come on, fail. Right. Okay. Now, that is my service. Service is hooked in, and for the service, however, I need to have the module ID. So we definitely in the module will need to have the module ID. We're going to go for it. Data dash module ID equals. I'm going to go for at active module, DNN dot active module dot module ID. All right, and back here, we need to, every time we've added something to, that's a bit of a drag. You've got to add these. There's probably an easier way to do it, but let's say module ID equals, there we go, L dot data dash module ID. All right, now we've got the module ID in here. And once we've set that up, now in our write table, when we have a method to add, so we have an update write method that we're going to use here. The update write method is wired to the add button on the pop-up that we have. So there, of course, we're going to use the this dot props dot, and now we're going to have the service. So the service actually we need to hook into here. Let's have a look. The I did not have the service here, did I? Not yet. No. Let's have a service. Service. There are a million ways to skin a cat, of course, but let's do it this way now. New, and I'm going to window dot because it's a global object right now, and I'm going to call it connect hitch a ride. And connect hitch a ride service, I think I've called it. Service. And that takes as arguments jQuery and the module ID. So here we go. We feed that in again. Here we go. That's the module ID. So that's in there. And now we have the service as a property. We say, okay, well, add ride, right, ride. And as we add the ride, what do we do? Well, we're going to have to get the object, right, the ride. And I'm going to quickly get and paste that code soon and get what comes back as a return. So very briefly, I'm just going to save this and save myself a lot of typing by just quickly going through this. And they're saying, okay, well, this source, I'm committed to change here. Here we go. Boom. Remove. Okay. Let's clean it up. No. Did I say? Discard. Discard. All right. And we're going to go to step 8. And you'll see what I mean. Check out. There we go. So now you see, I have my, you know, I need to build up this this ride object. It's coming from the refs that are actually in the panel. And what will happen at the moment is when I add this, for now, right? We're just going to okay. Let's just try this. We've got this table. I'm gonna go. Okay. Well, I'm coming from Girona, and I have 5 places. Blah 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 blah. I'm saving it. At the moment, nothing's happening yet, but if I refresh that page, I should have picked it up. I guess it's, all right, it's probably not still going into a black hole. And Let's have a look. Let's make sure we check that correctly. Get the service in and bring it back into feed it back into the data. I'm sorry, I seem to have got a little error here. So feeding it back means, right, return the data back, check out that. Make sure we're correct. There we go. So just walking you through that code. So the return of the add ride method, what it should do is, as soon as it's back, it should add that to the table. So what we do is we create a new list that starts from the rides, and we're going to push whatever comes back from the web API method. Now I'm going to take you to the web API method. I think we saw it here. Yeah, this one. So basically what the web API method does is it gets the data, puts it in a database, and then after it's done, it's going to get that same record from the database, because then it's being combined with various other bits and pieces of data, like the display name of the user, and then feeds that back over the wire back to the client. So, and now, actually, I'm not logged in. That could be a large part to do with this whole thing. Let's log in as this guy. All right. And I'm going to go into the module. So, okay, well, let's add. I'm coming from Girona. I have five places. I have notes here. And when I add that, that should add to the table, as you see it did. So at this point in time, nothing above it has been changed. All it does is just add that to the table. Just pushed it into the table, and that's it. Now, we have another 10 minutes, so I'm going to go not type too much anymore. We're just going to show you a few extra things. So, but the you know, these are the basic nuts and bolts of a React.js application. So if I check this out, I'm just going to add sorting. This is something that you'll probably want to do at some point. So it's pretty trivial. All it does is says, well, when you get the list of rides, just sort them, please, by display name, right, downwards, and create that as the list. And when we make the new list again, we sort it again and make sure that that is updated. So now this Dwayne guy that is still logged in here, if I add another one, I'm going to go for, airport something. I've got three places. Obviously, you'll want to clear out the form after you're done. That's kind of a... but yeah, that should have... Well, maybe I just needed to recompile the script. Let's see, sorting. Okay, I'm not going to spend too much time on that. So sorting would fit in there. It's a little bit, like your story with validation. You do bits and pieces of JavaScript when you're building out your application, and you'll find that that kind of fits in pretty neatly at the moment that you're doing this whole React stuff, because now all of a sudden you're working in this one environment where you're creating your DOM. Okay, important part, security. Now, DNN has security settings, so one of the things you will find is at some point you're going to want to add security to your module, because the web API is where you have your wall. So any method that comes in, you label correctly, saying, okay, well, only these and these people are allowed to do that. The thing is, you also want to have access to that security at the front end to make sure you're not rendering any buttons and stuff that shouldn't be rendered, right? So although everything is unsafe at the front, you still want to kind of tweak your interface to the user. So what I do is I usually serialize a security object that I have. A security object, I'll just hop to it, is basically what it has. It has context security, go to definition. So it has like can view, can edit, is admin, is traveler. That's a custom permission I've set on the module, etc. And the is traveler, this same security object comes back in the authorize attribute. So I can unify, like, okay, it's a traveler or not, and then either I add the button or not, right? So now on the write table, you'll say, well, actually that button, right, where is the button? So the add panel, right, actually the whole add panel, so the whole, you know, pop-up is, if you are a traveler, well, it's all of this, actually, here. add panel, sorry, it's actually just a button for now, but you can imagine you could roll the whole panel in there. Otherwise, it's null. So at this point in time, I have an add button if I'm logged in, which I am. I'm just going to make sure I recompile the script. So, right, and if I log out, that add button should disappear. So now it's gone when, at least we're kind of, you know, keeping in sync what we're doing. And finally, for those passionate about localization, right? There's a new bit in DNN 8. Yes, localization. Let me just fast forward to localization and round off there. These are bits that are very specific, of course, to DNN, and you have to kind of resolve these before you can build a proper DNN app using that. I'm just going to collapse this. Boom. And index, yeah, doesn't matter. Resources. So this method, serialized resources, is there's now a new method in the DNN localization library, and it's called get compiled resource file. So what that does is it takes those classic RESX files that you have, you point it to one, and given your context, right, of portal, language, and whatnot, it compiles just a list of what the resources are, right? Now, I use a convention for myself, client resources here. So if I go to the client resources, and I go to app local resources, client resources, right? So number of places, numbered space places, right? That will go over the wire. So again, I'm just going to compile this and refresh the page and show you where this happens, what this looks like. So I go into this is our div, and here you see the data resources sitting there. Can you see that? Sorry, should move away from it. Yeah. So you see the data resources there. It's a bit small, but anyway, it's like number of places, number dash space places. You'll find that it's probably a lot handier to avoid the dot text convention, which you don't need on the client side anyway, right? It's something that was specific for web forms. So I just chose this, and then actually when I feed the resources into our module, I'm close this off and say, okay, well, hitch a ride, here we go. I now have these resources, right? And they go into a property. So now all of a sudden on the ride, where are we? The ride table, right? Where are we with the headings? There you go. So now I have a property, resources, number of places. And that points to that very same resource file. So now if I refresh, that number of places, well, yeah, I'm going to quickly change number of places to hello DNN, and I'm going to just log in as host, because otherwise I need to be able to invalidate the cache. So now we see number of places, and I'm just going to, everyone knows this, right? Clear cache, and you get your resource file again. Okay, so that's the way to hook in resources. All right, I'm gonna leave it at that. Actually, we did cover everything that I wanted to show you in this very, very condensed, you know, React.js for DNN session. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask me. Certainly, look at the source code for a number of modules that I've done recently, like the conference module. Yeah, any questions? Very quickly. All right, well, thank you very much, and it's coffee time.